Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Tuesday. The proposed smoking ban in parks and beaches. Grandparents and the value of them. How to make the perfect toasty. And if you weren't hungry enough by that stage, we'll talk about chocolate moving to Australia. All the chocolate's off to Australia. But before any of that, oh, come on. Are we still going to talk about the talking?
I'll read you this. I'm afraid I'm addicted to your show. I get withdrawal symptoms when you're away. Haven't found any painkillers to help with the coping and stress. What should I do? Get a life. Just read an article by an ex-New Zealand First MP stating voters definitely want change, therefore NZF has to go with Labour. Well, there is a certain amount of anger in our neck of the woods, and people do want change, a change away from MMP. The other half commented, this is a stupid, stupid system where we can have a government where list MPs rather than elected representatives can be the government. An acquaintance stated that he can actually see the person he voted for in his electorate, and who the hell were these faceless twits holding power? Anyway, rumblings of revolution in the South. Well, there should be, actually. Because if that's the way it goes, don't forget that the government will be made up more of, there'll be more list MPs than elected MPs in government. If it goes the way that, the three-party trifecta.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not comfortable with them calling it a trifecta because it makes it sound like somebody wins. And really, surely the only people who win in that situation are the list MPs nobody's ever heard of. Right, that's quite enough of that for one day. Let's get into this smoking ban on park benches, on beaches.
I feel like the rules are sort of justified, but that's because most smokers are pretty frivolous with where they throw their cigarette butts, and I'm a smoker myself, but I don't leave a cigarette butt anywhere. If I'm away somewhere, I'll put it in my pocket. I'll squeeze the burn part off and take it with me. I think if people were more conscious about the rubbish, it wouldn't be such an issue. Obviously, in a really packed beach, you wouldn't want to be lighting up a cigarette next to a family with young kids or anything. I don't like to do that in front of kids, but yeah, I think it should be our choice, but we should be more responsible with it.
Yeah, I don't really feel like... Yeah. Do you think this is an issue about litter more than it is about the secondhand smoke?
Well, no, it also goes in hand with the health issues. I mean, I can understand why they want to phase it out. I mean, it's putting a lot of pressure on the health system and money's going down the drain for something that doesn't need to happen. However, it's one of those things when they started to phase it out, I couldn't help but think, well, how long have you been warning us that it's addictive, yet you're still making us a massive amount of tax money off selling them? So maybe the people that were 18 before the date that it becomes illegal should still be able to have tobacco. I'm not sure.
It is a weird one. I do wonder if it's on the way out. My kids, one of my monsters, just yesterday we were in the car and she looked in the car next to us where somebody was smoking and said, how are they allowed to do that? So that was, I thought that was quite a good question from the mouths of monsters. Anyway, speaking of monsters, who looked after yours over the holidays?
Here's a funny thing. I don't recall having toys either. A few board games, yes, but I had horses. So, you know, I was that kid, pony mad, and I was always outside in the paddocks or probably pretending I was a horse around the house, I suspect. But I don't remember having a room full of toys, whereas Finn's room is like a shrine to Lego and Star Wars and dinosaurs. The TV... Well, the TV didn't go on until the 6 o'clock news, and we didn't argue about the remote because there wasn't one. You had to get up to change the telly. But we watched the 6 o'clock news and the Mainland Touch with Rodney Bryant. Finn, meanwhile, doesn't really watch TV. He'll watch a kids' movie on Netflix, and he's a bit square, so he quite likes David Attenborough. But there's nothing on regular TV that he will watch. TV's just not his thing. He loves Minecraft on his iPad. and he'll connect with his friends on there and they build stuff. And, you know, judging by some of the noises I hear coming from Finn, I think they sort of nick stuff off each other as well on Minecraft. So that's what he does. Very different to me, but very, very different to the grandparents. And so I parent quite differently to how I was parented. And when I look at all the grandparents on school holiday duty over the last couple of weeks, I wonder how they've coped with the intergenerational childcare, things like discipline. You know, is it hard work looking after the littlies? And do you discipline your grandkids in the same way their parents do? Are you a bit more relaxed, perhaps? Can you get the kids to eat? And how do you manage their screen time? I imagine it's quite exhausting if you're a grandparent, but you do play a vital role. Where would we be without our grandparents?
But weird that Rachel's turned into one of those people who says things like, I never had toys when I was a kid. Which, I mean, that'll just be completely untrue. I mean, I can't remember anything about being a kid, but I know that I had toys. I believe I was heavily into Lego, for example. I mean, who isn't? It's great. Not quite sure what that's got to do with grandparents, so let's move on to how to make a good toasty, according to Marcus.
Because I've recently been experiencing with this through hunger, is the secret to a great toasted sandwich is to use... Now I'm going to think of the right word, to use mayonnaise instead of butter on the outside, the bit that goes against the element, because that's not going to split like butter, it's going to remain... I forget the word, it's a chefy word, and it's going to give you a beautiful, even brown layer. I've got to admit, I'm slightly freaked out by mayonnaise. We do have it occasionally at home, but every time I open the jar, it just looks to me like it actually instantly makes you fat. So I wouldn't really go rubbing it on my bread, but I am impressed that it makes good toasted sandwiches. Although I'm kind of slightly disappointed by our toasted sandwich maker, because it's one of those ones that cuts the bread into two triangles, and the whole thing ends up a bit too crusty for me. I think I just like something that just actually squeezes it and squeezes it flat, because the crusts aren't that nice tasting. So all the filling congregates into the inside of those little cave within the triangle, and you bite, then it all pours out, runs down your arm. Then trying to run under the tap to stop the burning.
So more thought-provoking stuff there from Marcus. I didn't realise that you could still buy those toasted sandwich makers that actually seal everything in so they become a weapon of mass mouth destruction. I mean, it just makes it so impossibly hot. You have to wait about half an hour for the contents to cool down enough for you to actually chew. Surely most people just use a sandwich press, which is the name of the device he was searching for and couldn't remember. Surely. Why would you still have one of those things? And you can only fit a certain size and shape of bread in those things. It's just... Again, more questions than answers from Marcus. Let's finish up here finding out the details of Mondelez moving all their chocolate production to Australia.
Well, what do you make of this? How can the taste of chocolate be changed if its production has moved abroad? What's going on here?
Well, there's two things. Nothing should change if the recipes and the ingredients they use are exactly the same. But then, you know, who knows what's going to happen? You know, they can just decide to go cheaper on some ingredients or source them differently, and then the overall recipe might change then. But you know, obviously, if they keep everything the same, there shouldn't be too much difference.
Right, and is that possible? Keeping everything the same?
In the ideal world, yes. But then, you know, everyone runs a business, and depends what business decision they do, really.
How much can a change in the origin of the ingredients alter the taste of chocolate?
It will be probably, if the milk powder could be one of the main thing that could change the flavor. If they use, you know, milk powder from Australia instead of New Zealand, for example, that could really have an impact, I think, on flavor. The dairy milk is probably one of the examples. I've heard a lot that people saying that dairy milk from Cadbury in the UK tastes different from dairy milk here in New Zealand, where, you know, it's probably the same recipe, but then the milk powder will come from different origin.
Yeah, but they use the powder, don't they?
Yeah, it has to be powder because otherwise if it's too wet, you can't make chocolate.
So that's Nico. He's the chocolatier at an outfit called Honest Chocolate. Imagine if they moved the chocolate production to Australia and it actually all tastes better. Of course, that can't happen because no change is ever better in the eyes of the public, is it? I am Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB. Unchanging for 1,649 episodes. And I expect no change again tomorrow for 1,650. See you then.